BQ here, King of the Mountain podcast, back in action, ready to talk some Impact Wrestling with you from this last week. I feel like I've been sitting in front of this microphone all week. Just did a report or a review last week, and then reviewed Slammiversary, and then reviewed Slammiversary with the heel cast, and then reviewed Slammiversary with Slamdown in the UK. Not to mention my own Slammiversary pre-show, so damn, lots of podcasts, busy time of the year. But today we are joined, first of all, we've got a three-man, well, kind of two-man, one-woman show today. First, we got Raven Effect from the heel cast. He's going to be on with us for the first half of the show. What's up, Raven Effect? Finally got you on here. Been wanting to do this for a while.
Oh, what's up, BQ? Thanks for having me, man. Actually just finishing Impact right now. Lashley came out, literally just walked up to someone with a sign. Ironic, but, you know, glad to be here, BQ. Thanks for the heads up, man.
Could that person be this, with the sign, be the other individual in our show today? Ebony, is that you that he's talking about in the show?
Yeah, that is me.
I think I caught Matt Sydal give you a high five earlier in the show.
Oh, yeah. It took me a little minute to give him a high five because I had a pretzel on my hand and I did not want to drop it.
No, you didn't want to leave him hanging?
I didn't want to leave him hanging, but I didn't want to drop my pretzel.
I think we're to the point where the wrestlers know to look for you when they come out, since you always got a sign for them, huh?
Yeah.
She's the official sign girl of the Impact Zone, definitely. Before we get into reviewing Impact, there's three news things this week, news items. There hasn't been a whole lot of news lately outside of the pay-per-view, but so we got a few. The first one will be, I'm curious to get Ebony's take on this here, because this has only come up from one website, from SportsKita, and I freaking hate them, but they said the rumor is Bobby Lashley will retire after Slammiversary. And then if you read the article, there's nothing of substance here in this article, other than saying that what's his name, the Raven, is it Team America or something like that? I'm thinking of the movie. His MMA
American
team.
Top team.
Okay. Like they want him to focus on MMA instead of wrestling. So yeah, Ebony, do you? This is your guy here, Lashley. Is there a? You heard anything about this guy retiring or wanting to be done?
Nothing like that. He has said nothing about retiring. That's weird. If that's the case, I think I would have known, since I'm like one of his biggest fans.
I know you're kind of the insider on Lashley, yeah. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And I've spoken to him at the shows. He said nothing about retiring.
Yeah, if anything, he's always said he has a few more years of wrestling left in him, because he rarely takes independent bookings. I think he just, yeah, I don't know if anyone, correct me if I'm wrong, if either of you two know, but I think he only wrestles for the company and fights. I think he does an independent booking like here and there, but I don't think it's
really needed.
Yeah, pretty sure this guy's pretty loaded, so I don't think he's got that busy of a schedule. So I always understood he was going to continue wrestling for a few more years. Did you see that article, Raven?
I didn't. I mean, I don't know if I buy into it. My assumption, dude, I never hear about him taking indies, but man, knowing MMA the way I do, it's an everyday sport. And, you know, as much of a fan as I am of wrestling, as much of a fan as I am of football, MMA, man, to make it big and be good at it and to improve the leaps and bounds that he's at, you got to be in the gym every single day. My assumption is ATT anytime he's not at Impact, or, you know, probably take a couple days off. But I haven't heard anything along those lines. I saw an interview with him on Wrestling Inc. over the past weekend. I didn't mention anything along those lines, but I haven't heard anything about this. But I don't know. You know, the girl who stares Walking Armageddon in the face hasn't heard anything, so who knows, right?
Yeah, exactly. You see the picture on Twitter of him lifting, or no, who's lifting you? Eli Drake is lifting you up all the way, right? Like a gorilla press slam, almost.
Both of them lifted me up, but Eli Drake had me all the way up in the air.
Yeah, those pictures are pretty funny.
Yeah, that was a little scary for me. I'm afraid of heights, so.
So we're trusting you in the next set of tapings to get on that. See if you get the scoop on Lashley. I can see him taking a break for a little bit because he's not really one of those guys you should feature on a consistent basis because it's you don't want to overexpose Lashley. I think it's one thing when he has a title, but when he doesn't, it's a little bit different. So so I want to ask you because I've been in the Impact Zone a handful of times, and I'm always saying that it is louder in there than it comes across on TV. So for someone who's in the Impact Zone every single episode, what are your thoughts on the volume of the crowd in person compared to on TV?
It's actually different because they cut us out most of the time. I hear people in my ears constantly yelling, and I hear the whole crowd. So when I looked at Thursday's episode and saw they muted a lot of the chanting, it was pretty disappointing because they just want to force, I guess, Alberto on us. But a lot of the people in the Impact Zone do not like Alberto.
Wow, that's interesting because I was there for his debut and it was pretty crazy in there. But I think debuts are always a little different.
Yeah, but now, I mean, it's a lot of people that don't like him. He's just overexposed. I don't really see it. I don't see what all the hype is about with him.
Is it a pretty fair statement that the audio is, like, kind of compressed as far as the crowd volume to what comes out on TV?
Very.
I actually thought it was a lot. I don't know what you think, Raven. I actually thought the crowd did sound louder on this episode, though, than what we normally hear. I don't know if you felt that way or not.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit. However, I don't have Chef to call out here with me, but so, Ebony, I'm going to call you out. Man, when Sanjay came out, like, none of you guys, like, did shit for the poor guy. He, like, pointed at one person, and there was, like, fucking three people standing up, and it was kind of like, man, really? Is he doing that bad? But, you know, Chef tells me the same thing, that the crowd comes out a little bit better, you know, when you're there, as opposed to the way it comes out on TV. But, man, y'all didn't do shit for poor Sanjay. That's what I'm going to say.
Do they dislike him in the Impact Zone, too?
That's our champ, for fuck's sake. There are like four people cheering for him.
I mean, they cheer for him, but by the time he comes down, everybody's tired of cheering.
It's like the third match. Or the second.
What I'm talking about is, like, they take so long at, like, the entrance. So by the time they get by the crowd, people are tired of cheering. Unless it's like a big name, like LAX or Bobby or Eli, James Storm.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
No EC3 left? Come on.
Oh, yeah, EC3.
Franchise. I'm dubbing him the franchise from here on out, unless we get Aries back. It's a franchise now.
EC3 is very popular in the Impact Zone.
So speaking of Austin Aries, he was released by the WWE yesterday. This was, I guess, his request. I guess there were some reports that he was had a bad attitude backstage, but all in all, was upset being pigeonholed in the cruiserweight division. And I've never watched a single cruiserweight match over there, but I have not heard good things about it, even by the diehard WWE fans. And it was kind of what I expected. A lot of people thought the Cruiserweight Classic was going to be what they were going to do, and I think a lot of seasoned wrestling fans knew very well that's not what they were going to do. And he seemed to be pretty unhappy over there, so you're a Austin Aries guy, aren't you, Raven?
Yeah, man, that's an understatement. I love that man. Like as much as I love like Bobby Roode and EC3 and James Storm throughout the years and Kurt Angle, you know, like I love Lashley, but he's not like one of my. I'm talking like top 5, 6, 7. Like, and I'll throw a Bad Influence, but I mean like my two overall favorite. Like number one, I didn't think anyone would ever eclipse Christian Cage, but I mean Austin Aries. I think Aries like has outdone everyone in Impact, TNA, GFW, NW, whatever the fuck this company's called now. I think Austin Aries has just been that for me. It's the greatest man that ever lived. They dropped the ball to the guy. He should have been the face of the franchise company for a long time. And if you have any, if anyone didn't expect WWE to suck, here's even more proof, because, you know, they did nothing with one of the best talkers, most charismatic guys, one of the best wrestlers in the entire world. You had the dirty heels on your goddamn hands, too. They couldn't do anything with the guy. Honestly, this is is just, for me, he's above all be all. He's a franchise guy for me. And I that you can't not bring him back. I mean, this is such a huge get for them, more than anyone. They got to do it. Like him beating Rude, man, in 2012, winning the belt. I mean, that was like one of my favorite moments ever. And that's definitely not my favorite period in TNA by any stretch.
I think he would be a cool guy to bring back, but I mean, he just made a point that he doesn't want to be a cruiserweight. So obviously, he doesn't want to be in the X division. And that just depends if Jarrett can sell him on, okay, we'll make you a serious competitor, because, you know, if not, Ring of Honor will. So, I don't know. I think we all hope he comes back. It's nice to get some of the older guys back. Hopefully, I really hope he does. But if he doesn't, you know, I could actually see Ring of Honor being a more realistic home for him at this point. Something he hasn't done before. I mean, let me not say that. He's been a Ring of Honor, but I mean, it's been a while, so I could just see him returning there. Hopefully not, though.
So I've heard rumors that, I've heard plenty of rumors. So I've heard that him and ROH have a lot of fences to mend. That relationship's going to work out, is what I've heard. I've also heard today, of course, you know, because you got to burst my bubble somehow, that him and Double J don't get along. And I see someone just messaged me on Twitter if, like, Aries was the guy that gave Double J a dirty look a while back. And I actually think I remember a story with A-Double giving Jeff Jarrett, like, a dirty look. Or something like saying some shit about Double J. I don't know. Just the X Division conversation, and I'll move on. I think, like, he's already established himself as a top contender. I mean, he's challenged for the belt numerous times. He had to lose that Bobby guy, whatever his name is. In 2012, like, he was the fucking star, man. He was the guy. Like, he was the biggest thing in the company. And, you know, dumbass Hogan turns him heel, and he's going to Bound for Glory, and it's Jeff Hardy's redemption story, and the entire crowd is nuts, going crazy, and they're all behind Aries and booing Jeff Hardy. That's something, man. That's really something.
Also, the viewership actually came out a little late. I happened to be at work. It was the... I think it came out like 1, 2, 3 in the morning, something like that, over here in Central Time. And I just so happened to be Googling the viewership, and it had just come out. But they hit their highest number of 2017, which was 300,047, I think. So did you catch that?
I did. It actually saves me, because I was going to do the heel cast, and I was going to talk shit and call out all the Impact Wrestling viewers, because the final week... the lead-in show to Slammiversary, they took that massive drop, and it pissed me off. I'm excited as hell. I see a lot of people shitting on the show from Thursday night. I'm on the last match right now. I don't think it was a bad show, but I mean, like, I see these big time reviews coming out saying it was a terrible show. You know, hopefully that wasn't the mindset of a lot of people that actually tuned in and watched it. Hopefully a lot of people that are thinking about tuning in to next week's show aren't reading that, but it definitely deserved the viewership spike, especially after Slammiversary being such a great pay-per-view. I hope they keep it up. I hope people were entertained, because, man, it wasn't as bad a show as people are saying it was, by any means. Not at all.
No, I liked it quite a bit. Last bit of news is that Dixie Carter's appearing on this Kurt Angle special on the WWE Network, and I don't know what the general, like, consensus is as far as the reaction and everything. I know there's a lot of very hypocritical, and I'm not talking about all WWE fans, but there's a lot of hypocritical ones online. I would imagine some people are kind of popping for Dixie Carter, thinking this is cool, even though they vilified her for years. I think what happened here, though, is that I think they came to terms that you can't do a special on Kurt Angle. You can't bullshit, you know, the people. Like, if you're going to do a special on Kurt Angle, there has to be some inclusion of his TNA time. I think they knew that. And I'm sure he had a role in that too, but would you watch it, Raven, even though, you know, Dixie, just for Dixie Carter? There's some people who are like, I want to watch it just because of her, and I'm like, I'm still not going to watch it, but...
I kind of proclaim myself as the biggest WWE hater there is. And also a major Dixie hater, and I'm fucking tuning in. I want to see what you had. I have to, man. I have to see what's said. Like, fuck her. She wanted to settle this company anyway, and now she gets her wish. She gets to be on WWE TV so she can kiss Stephanie and Vince's ass from here to across the street some more. I want to see it. Like, I want to see if they mention TNA. I think it's fitting that the name TNA is no longer there, so now it's like, okay, let's bring in at TNA Dixie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, now it's okay. Now it's okay, because no one knows what the fuck that is now, because now it's a GFW that we're not going to ever mention, but, you know.
Dixie is very nice, because I've met her a few times, but I'm not going to watch it.
No, I have no... I'm sure maybe one day I might have some interest as far as, you know, down the road, but I'm not tuning in this week by any means. Because... I think I'm just going to leave more pissed off than anything. I think they're, you know, either they're going to do like what you said, Raven, and mention TNA because that's not the company anymore, or they're just going to, or Dixie's going to play along and act like she's not going to say the name, and they're just going to say, oh, well, he was working for my company, you know, something like that. So I might either leave pissed off or probably leave pissed off, but let's get an impact here real quick. We got Raven for another like 15 minutes, so we want to get started on Raven here real quick. I mean, on Impact here real quick. So it kicked off with, and I don't even want to get into this a whole heck of a lot, but it kicked off with Alberto's championship celebration. I'm not really a fan of championship celebrations. I think it's something the company does because they see WWE do it and say, oh, well, if they do it, it must work. I would like to get away from those. I think they're silly. They usually end the same way. You know, I wish I would get away from it, especially opening up the match. I think for Sanjay, it was kind of different. It was in India, but not a really big fan. But the segment was, it was solid. It wasn't, you know, it didn't drag on too long, in my opinion. It didn't really bore us, but it set up a Lashley versus El Patron later in the night, and I could have bet money on the fact that they were going to have a rematch the first night. You know, they did it last year with Galloway and Lashley, and they tend to do these world title rematches or matches right away, give them away too quickly. Doesn't really do much for me, but I guess there was a storyline involved here. But getting into the first match of the evening, it was X Division Action, Sanjay Dutt versus Caleb Konley. So, Ebony, was a crowd into this match? Because this was more like, I think, the kind of X Division match people maybe wanted at the pay-per-view. Well, let me ask you first of all. I had said on the review that the crowd appeared to be very bored for Sanjay and Loki's match. Is that true?
I mean, they weren't bored. I guess they were probably tired. They're in the sun for at least 2-3 hours just waiting outside just to get inside the show. So when they get inside, they're exhausted. I guess they're waiting for their favorite matches. Then when other matches come around, they really don't care as much.
Yeah, that makes sense, because anytime I've gone, I've always kind of go like a few minutes before the show starts. And since I'm a VIP, I usually just get in. I usually try to avoid the lines as a whole, but...
I show up late, so.
Do you really? Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Did you show up for this match?
I don't remember that match, so I'm not quite sure.
Okay, I know talking to you sometimes that since you go to so many tapings in a row, that you sometimes, you know.
I did a lot.
Right. Yeah. Fair enough. So I'll just take it to you, Raven. What were your thoughts on the X Division match? I'm a big Caleb Konley fan, so I was excited. I don't really care for Sanjay a whole lot, but...
Dude, I'm like the only Sanjay supporter out there I know anymore, man. I thought it was a good match. I mean, like, if people are exhausted from the sun or whatnot, I mean, maybe if you guys would start buying blow instead of pretzels, the crowd might be a little bit more hyped up. It's all I'm saying. We can see some energy from the Impact Zone at some point. But I liked it. I think Caleb Conley's a good wrestler. Dude needs a little bit more personality. It was a pretty solid match, in my opinion. I mean, nothing spectacular. It definitely had the X Division feel to it. I'm enjoying Sanjay's reign. I think it's a long time coming. Him winning the belt is the moment of the year so far in 2017 for me. I don't know if we're going to talk about what happened after the match, But I'm fucking tired of seeing this guy around the X Division title that's got an issue with Sanjay. I'd rather see someone else get that spot. But, hey, there we go.
You're talking about Trevor Lee?
I am, man. His reigns have underwhelmed me. At first, I blamed it on Gregory Shane Helms for, you know, making the X Division more like some slowed down WWE style shit. But I'm still not seeing the thing out of Trevor Lee. And dude, like, you're on TV, you're getting paid to be on Impact Wrestling. You shouldn't be going on and putting on much better matches and better performances for a bunch of Meltzer sucking off marks and fucking PWG than you put on for Impact Wrestling. And that's the issues I got with Trevor Lee. Nah.
What are your thoughts on Trevor Lee, Ebony? Do you have any desire to see him versus Sanjay?
He's pretty good. I mean, I like his matches, but I want a DJZ return for the belt. Because he got hurt as soon as he would want to do another title run.
I'm going to a independent show here tomorrow, Glory Pro Wrestling, and DJZ is actually on the card. So he is, I guess he is doing independent bookings, but he's just not cleared by Global Force Wrestling yet. So, but he is in action, and I guess with Destination X coming up and it being a live show, I think that's a fair bet that he'll show up at that. So, but yeah, the show I'm going to is pretty good. Marufuji is going to be there too. So when the dirt sheets had said, oh, well, he had an indie show booked, so it was possible he was going to be booked at Slammiversary. It was the show here, so I'm gonna be going early to meet him and Cody Rhodes, so that should be good stuff. Every time we go to the Impact Zone, because we sit on that non-camera side, my son just wants to give Cody Rhodes high five, and he every single time, like, right up to us, and then he walks away and goes to the other side. We're like, ugh. So. But yeah, I agree. I'm kind of done with the Trevor Lee stuff. Just because it's just time to see someone else in there, someone new. And until he gets new ring attire, I need to see someone new. So after this, Mackenzie interviews. It was a very random 8-man tag match. We don't usually get these random 8-man matches on Impact, these multi-man matches. So this was kind of odd at first. Was Eddie, Veterans of War, and Grado. And they went up against Eli Drake, Chris Adonis, Fala Ba, Mario Bocara.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
You didn't see that one?
No, I watched it, but I'm saying I didn't get the whole why were they in the match.
Do you think that they did the match strictly for the Grado, just to get Grado on TV? Because you know better. I mean, without spoiling, like, you know there's obviously something with Grado going on here.
Oh, yeah. There's something going on with Grado. But if that's the case, they should have had a singles match.
Yeah, it's true. There's a few guys they could have put him up against that was, you know, they could have put him against Mario Bocara one-on-one or something like that. Someone that he could beat. I don't think we needed to get seven other people in this match. One of them being Eddie Edwards and Eli Drake, top of the card guys, just to, so did this match do anything for you, Raven? Were you kind of thinking the same thing, like, what is this?
Yeah, I mean, I read the spoilers, so I kind of knew what was going on, but I think the most mind-blowing thing that you possibly could have ever said was, do you think they went out of their way to get Grado on TV? Fucking A. My God, man, why go out of your way to put this guy on TV? And I don't like to knock the talent, man, because I was entertained by this match. Good God, though, man, just why you got to bring that guy back of all people? But we could just, you know, pretend he just fell off the face of the earth somewhere. Good, I mean, at least he's not paired back with Shara. You know, and I mean, I was glad Veterans of War came back. It was cool that Mini Yokozuna and Fat Heath Slater were back on TV, I guess, too. Because I hear better things about these guys than what I've seen on TV. But yeah, it was. I'm glad Eddie got a pin. It's been a while. I don't know that pinning Fat Heath Slater does much for Eddie Edwards. But I mean, has Eddie won a match prior to Davey this entire year since the new regime came in? So two pinfalls in a row.
After he lost to Bobby, I mean.
Yeah, even when he was the champion, he was not booked really strong. But yeah, after he lost to Bobby, I mean, he took that one loss to Matt Sydal. You know, like that random that right in the middle of a feud with Davey Richards.
I need to ask y'all about something. What is y'all take on the whole Swole Mates
thing? I don't understand what the hell that is. I saw the commercial and I was just like, I'm not really understanding what this show is. That dude is huge.
We were lost in the Impact Zone. I'm like, what is going on? I'm not going to say what me and my friends thought, but it just did not add up.
I kind of want to hear it. I looked over and I'm like, this motherfucker has the littlest head on like the biggest like inflated ass body ever. It's like Jersey Shore meets a couple bodybuilding dudes, and apparently it's gonna be on Pop. I know someone who shouldn't be taking that. I know someone's gonna get embarrassed and that just shouldn't be fucking embarrassed by these two clowns. That's all I gotta say. But you know, hope their I hope their balls get back to some normal size at some point when they lay off the roids. Hopefully that damage isn't permanent. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, those gotta be steroids.
Yeah, that's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are definitely beasts.
It's like that dude on Have you seen Beetlejuice where they're in the fucking doctor's office and that dude gets his head shrunk by the by the witch doctor?
Yeah,
that's what that motherfucker reminds me of.
Yeah.
Everyone in the crowd, they were just like, he kept saying, telling the crowd to chant "Swole Mates," and everyone was looking at him like, what? No,
because they didn't know who the hell they were. It's just
just like, who are y'all? What are y'all doing here?
But yeah, just wrapping it up with this match. I mean, it was kind of random. It was there. I had to watch this on Hulu because I still haven't turned on the cable after moving in 3 weeks ago. But I fell asleep during the match, and then I had to watch it again the next day. But Falaban, Mario Bakar, actually my friends on Facebook. Not that that means anything. I haven't spoken to them, but just a fun fact there. They have completely killed Falaba's ability to come off as a monster heel. I think he took an elbow from Garrido and fell out of the ring. So that guy. If I were the Monster Factory, I'd be pretty pissed off because their tag champs have been booked to be the weakest people in the company. So after this, we get Matt Sydal versus Braxton Sutter. I knew something was up
I knew something was going to happen.
Yeah, when it was two baby faces going against each other, I was like, they don't usually, with the exception of that one Eddie and Matt Sydal match we've referred to, they don't usually just like randomly throw two baby faces against each other, especially with one of them you know is trying to get pushed for the X Division title. This kind of pissed me off because I'm a big Braxton Sutter fan. And obviously, Ebony, you know more than we do, and maybe Raven even knows stuff because he reads spoilers, but
they're building for something.
It's building to something?
Mm-hmm, for Braxton and Ali.
All right. Which I think is a good thing because you have to have... we needed the next step with them because Ali was doing that storyline last year, and it took the entire year to do. You know, and even the one with Laurel. I have to ask you though, without giving results, are they blowing off Allie and Laurel in these tapings?
Blowing them off?
Yeah, like is there a conclusion to them, or is it still going, or is it not it's going still, anymore?
It's still semi going. I mean, in like the day before the last tapings, I think they had a little segment together. So they're still using that storyline somewhat, and still with Awesome. What's the thing? Congo Kong.
Because the players have been changing a little bit. First we had Sienna and KM, and now they're not really involved. And sometimes KM is, so it's very strange. But thoughts, Raven, on Matt Sydal, Braxton, and the finish of this match.
I know that they consider Braxton as an X Division guy, even though I don't. It's nice to see the X Division getting a lot of time on this episode, which makes me very happy because my X Division seems to be coming back. I think the right guy went over, and it is odd that they do have face versus face, but I'd like to see more face versus face and heel versus heel at times. I mean, look, if you've watched wrestling for a long time, like I have, you kind of know where these things start to go when there's a manager and the face starts to go. There's a female manager or valet, and there's a face, and he starts to get mad and angry tantrums and stuff like that, and you kind of know where that goes, but it's about time they try and put some character in Braxton Sutter, I guess. It's just if it's what I think it may be going to, it's way too soon for that. You know, but it's two different regimes, but, you know, we'll see where it goes. But match wasn't too bad, a little bit quick, but, you know, Matt Sydal definitely is the guy that should have went over there.
Yeah, and it was a fast-paced match, and the crowd seemed pretty into it for what it was, you know, 3:15. But I kind of blinked, and all of a sudden Matt Sydal was doing the shooting star press, so I didn't really catch what knocked him on his ass to where he was able to hit that move. It just seemed like they were wrestling, and then I kind of like turned away for a second. All of a sudden, Braxton's on his back, taking the move. So, the one thing I want to say about this is that this is a problem I've pointed out before. Is that it's like they either give you a good match or they further a storyline with a match. And if they do that, it's always an abbreviated match. I don't understand why they can't just do both. Why not just give us a competitive match for 7 minutes and then, you know, then do something with that storyline. You know, the A-man tag was, you know, had some length to it. So, you know, it's whatever. We'll see. I don't read spoilers at all. I'm very concerned about this, and I'm because I like Braxton and Ali so much, but I'm just gonna trust what they're doing. Then it shows LAX in the clubhouse saying the new member will be revealed tonight. A funny story. I was sitting at work last night. I work nights, and I was just sitting there, and I got a, you know, vibration from a message, and it was Conan in my inbox, and it just said, "Do you listen to my podcast, BQ?" And I just started dying because I've seen his interaction with people on Twitter. He, you know, if people respond to him, he'll always respond back, "Do you listen to my podcast?" Like, he's obviously pushing his shit, but I just found it so funny in my inbox, just randomly I get a message from Conan. "Do you listen to my podcast, BQ?"
Conan's very nice.
Is he?
Yes, he's nice. As long as you don't mess with him. I mean, I saw a fan try him before at previous tapings, but who tries Conan like that?
He
got dealt with.
I want to listen to it. I do want to listen to his show, but I mean, I don't really watch, you know, WWE, so I imagine that's what he talks about to an extent. I'm sure he talks about other things too, but I really only watch this product anymore, even though I pretty much follow every promotion in some way, shape, or form, even if it's just reading results, but this is the only one I really watch, so I that's why I haven't, like, given his podcast a shot. You know, if he's, like, analyzing Raw and things like that, like, I don't really watch it, so I can't. I don't know. You ever heard of show, Raven?
I haven't, to be honest. I kind of want to check it out. I've seen. It's funny because you mentioned that, because I was on Twitter earlier this morning and he had, like, asked a couple people, "Do you listen to my podcast or whatnot?" And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of weird." And there was kind of like a running joke going with people, and Conan asked him if they listen to his podcast. So, you know,
it is. And like I said, I've seen it before, but just to get it in my inbox at like 1:30 in the morning was just so funny. And I responded, so I looked real quick to see if he followed me or something, because I was just like, why did he message me? I don't even know where he got my page from, but I did get a follow from King Mo the other day, and then Hakeem Zayn is following me now too, which is, I was saying offline, is Idris Abraham's tag team partner. I asked him, because he's going to be at the show tomorrow, so I'll meet him. I asked him if he was a part of the company, and he said, not officially, that he was supposed to be at this set of tapings, but they couldn't logistically work it out for whatever reason. But he said Jeff Jarrett is very high on him and Idris Abraham as a tag team and does want to bring him on to the company, but currently he's not. Super X Cup returns. Borash announced all the participants in the ring. I thought this was cool because he didn't focus on it too much. You know, it was long and drawn out. Quick introductions. And I think that's important because in the past, this is, you know, Jeff Jarrett and the creative team's work. Because in the past, if they were to do something like this, the Impact Zone crowd wouldn't even know what's going on. So, like, Ebony, do you remember when they were doing the Grand Championship tournament?
Oh,
Like, yeah. they didn't tell you guys what was going on, right? You were just sitting there, and all of a sudden, these motherfuckers are wrestling in rounds?
We were confused. They just showed us the belt. Like, they gave us a little information, but we were still confused about the whole thing. We didn't get it.
Yeah, and I think Chef was telling me that when they did the World Cup, or the not the World Cup, but the World Title Series, and I guess that was before you started attending the shows, that they did that whole tournament and never explained what was going on with that either.
I actually went to a couple of those tapings with the World Title Series.
Oh, okay. But did you know what was going on or no?
No.
Yeah, and I think from my experience, I was there. There was something I was there for that I was really confused. It might have been when the bromans got together. But there was a couple things I know I was there for, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? I'm just absolutely confused. But they definitely don't do a good job of letting the crowd know that. I don't remember if when they were doing the GFW tag title tournaments, if they had announced that or not. But overall, you know, this is a step in the right direction because they actually said, hey, this is what's going on. And, you know, they took the extra couple minutes out to do that. So I think that was pretty cool. You're looking forward to Raven to the Super X Cup. You know, do you got a favorite here?
Yeah, man, I'm really excited for it, to be honest. That match was great, I felt, with Idris Abraham and boy, Desmond Xavier, which I'll probably miss talking out on. I don't know anyone that's higher than I am on ACH at all. I love Andrew Everett. I'm really, really, really interested to see Sammy Guevara. I love what I'm seeing out of Desmond Xavier, but come on, man, no one should win this thing other than the Lone Wolf himself. I mean, dude, Davey Richards, he's not necessarily X Division, but he's like X Division in the way Douglas Williams was. But man, Davey Richards, one of, if not the best technical wrestler in the entire world, former Ring of Honor champion. The first time I saw Davey Richards, I said Impact has to get, well, it was TNA at the time. I said TNA has to get this guy at some point. He could change the entire scope, and he's been great as a heel solo, and no one should fuck with Davey Richards in this thing. I mean, Davey should be the guy in Trevor Lee's position beating Sanjay Dutt and winning that belt.
I agree. I would like to see Davey Richards win this thing because he's the most seasoned wrestler there. I don't want Eddie to come out and, like, spoil it. Like, they need to get away from all that. So hopefully just there's no shenanigans in this thing. I want to ask you, Ebony, without spoiling it, does the conclusion of this X Cup happen at the tapings, or is the finals at next month, or at Destination X?
The finals are at Destination X.
Okay, so people didn't hear that because she kind of cut in and out there. She said the finals are at Destination X, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's good. That's what I was hoping for, because I think this has opportunity to be something really cool for them. You know, the last time they did try to do something cool was the Feast, not the Feast or Fired, but whatever the new one was they did with the briefcases, and it was just the worst thing they've done in a long time. And
but you gotta admit that segment was funny on Fact of Life.
I didn't find it funny a little, even a little
bit. Really?
I really didn't.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
I think what I didn't like is just how silly it made the DCC look. I think that's what bothered me more than anything.
Speaking of that, I wish they'd bring that whole thing back. That was great.
It really was. I was reading online that James Storm said that they were supposed to come back as a babyface faction, and they were actually supposed to play off the storylines of how he got suspended and why Bram was in the trunk and all that stuff, and they just completely pretended like everything didn't happen, and then the new regime pulled the plug on it.
I think the Hardy shit or whatever, when they went backstage and whatever the hell they were doing at the time, I think that made it look fucking weak too. I think that killed DCC off a lot, putting them in like the comedy sketch there. I think that hurt him a lot too. The Bram and Kingston both deserve a lot better. Obviously, we know Bram will be a little bit before he gets back in the ring, but man, Bram and Kingston both deserve a whole lot more than what they're getting right now.
Yeah, we actually expected Kingston to come back the set of tapings, but he was like at the dinners and all that, but we didn't see him like at the tapings. We were actually hoping he was the new LAX member. Like, I was like, me and my whole group, we were hoping it was him and not Alberto.
I think everybody was. I think everyone I talked to was like, man, I really hope this is, you know, they had King. And I think, Raven, we talked about it too, right? You were hoping it was Kingston. We were talking about it on text, I think.
Yeah, I was hoping it was Kingston. I mean, look, obviously, I was hoping it was Mysterio. But, you know, I was hoping it was Kingston, if not Mysterio.
He deserves a push. I mean, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he absolutely deserves something. And that's why I really wanted it to be him, because I guess I wanted some clarification on his future. You know, like, he's one of those guys you kind of feel like, oh, God, maybe he's on the bubble with this new group, this new ownership. So let's hope.
And I think if Homicide is ever clear to wrestle, I mean, like, you have the potential at some point for Outlaw Inc. to break off and feud with LAX, which would be, I think it'd be a fantastic feud if they did that, too.
You cut out. What are you saying?
Wait until you see the whole LAX thing plays out. It's pretty good.
Okay, that's great. That's great to know. As long as we know it's going to play out to something good. And I tell people all the time, just let stuff play out. Just let stuff play out. You know, everyone was complaining about the Braxton and Allie wedding, and that ended up being pretty good. Everyone complained about Josh Matthews and Jaren Borash, and that ended up being a lot of fun. People complained about the Hardys once upon a time, and, you know, we know how that ended. So then we get the first match was Idris Abraham versus Desmond Xavier. Enjoyed it. I thought it had a sense of purpose. You know, Desmond Xavier is obviously the high flyer. We don't see Abraham doing those kind of moves, but he was very technically sound, and the match had a sense of purpose, as did most of the matches for the evening, really. But, you know, it was a lot of back and forth, a lot of quick action. They weren't wasting a lot of time. And Desmond Xavier he does a good job in doing the flippy stuff without making it look unnecessary. You know, there's certain stuff, you know, like I might watch in a Ring of Honor or something like that, where it's just a bunch of just unnecessary stuff. And Desmond Xavier does a pretty good job of just making it look like he's just kind of showing off, but it's not totally unnecessary. It kind of fits the match.
I agree. He's pretty good. Speaking of Desmond, he actually looks like my older brothers. I have two older brothers, and he looks exactly like them.
Does he really?
Yes. Oh, I have to show you a picture.
No, it's, yeah, ridiculous. Definitely.
It's ridiculous.
My brother just went to a PWG show last month, and Desmond Xavier was there, and he went and got a picture with him. And my brother's about 6'1", and he's completely towering him. So this guy's not very tall.
No, my brother's about 6'3", and Desmond is I'll give him 5'6", 5'7".
Okay, because I'm 5'9", and I know how I look next to my brother. And, yeah, I was like, he's got to be a lot. I couldn't believe that when I saw the picture. He just doesn't come across that way on TV, so.
Most of the X-Division guys are pretty short.
Yeah, it's just hard to always tell on TV, but 12-minute match, so they got a lot of time. And Raven, you said I know you got to take off after this match here, but you said you liked this one.
Yeah, man, I liked it a lot. And it's Idris Abraham, who I call Rafi from the league, is like my favorite TV character ever. Dude, that, like, he impressed the hell out of me. Man, I didn't know he kind of had that in him. They gave them amount of time. I've been wanting to see them give Desmond Xavier the time to shine, because I've heard and seen so much about the guy. And man, he definitely didn't disappoint. You know, he's a guy that I really hope has a bright, bright future and Impact sees a lot in him. Because when I think about the old X Division, and this dude's kind of just like the blueprint on it. And I think like him and ACH and Matt Sydal, what those three can really do to lead a new wave of the X Division, it should be fantastic. But man, I love seeing the X Division get that push. I really enjoyed this match. And I mean, that's why, like, when I see people shitting on this match, it's like, or shitting on this show at Impact, it's like, when you see this match, when you see Lashley and Patron, like, probably wrestle a better match than they did at Slammiversary, I mean, what's the point in knocking this show? That's the stuff that kind of pisses me off. But man, it's definitely, I loved it, man, and the right person definitely went over.
Are you done? Did you guys step out, Raven?
Yeah, man, I apologize. I got to step out here. I actually have to head out of town for a little bit. BQ, thank you for having me. Ebony, nice officially meeting you. The hot girl from the Impact Zone. BQ.
Thank you.
You're more famous than Chef now all of a sudden. So, you know, thank you. But BQ, thanks for having me, man. Everyone listening to BQ, thank you very much as well.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks.
All right. So after this Mackenzie Mitchell interviewed Gail Kim, Mackenzie's interview skills are much, much better these days. And did you ever feel like she was like really robotic speaking and everything? Or is that just me?
Maybe that's just you. Maybe she was nervous or something. I never thought that.
Oh, I don't know. The first couple of months of her doing interviews, I thought were so bad. Like they're, but now she's done a really, really good job. And she says Gail Kim has a big announcement to make next week. And then what was that? You said it's huge?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we'll look forward to it. I think we know the rumors and everything, but we'll see what's
it. It's a plot twist.
Oh, okay. That's good to know then. And then Mackenzie ends up interviewing Moose, and EC3 comes out because Moose has a championship match against Naira Fuji next week, and then EC3 comes out. So I think it's pretty cool that EC3 might be doing something with Moose here. Are you a Moose fan or no?
Everyone wants to know that. At first I had a problem with him because he always attacked Lashley.
Hmm.
Yes, I don't have a problem with Moose. If he stopped attacking Lashley, then I think I could be a fan. And if he stopped attacking Eli, then yes, I could be a fan of Moose.
Yeah.
Just don't attack, like, my favorite wrestlers.
That makes sense. So does he have a program with EC3 coming up then?
Yes.
Okay,
it's
cool.
It's going to be like a few weeks.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good, that's exciting to know. After that, we got GFW Women's Champion Sienna versus Rebel. I know I remember asking you if Rebel showed up at the tapings. You told me yes, because I've been really hoping that she comes back just because, I mean, she used to suck. She used to be awful. And all of a sudden, a year later, she's just this completely different character, and I think she has a place on the roster. So I've really been hoping to see more of her. But you said this was her only appearance, right?
Yeah. Only one.
Did you like this better than the Slammiversary match with Rosemary?
No.
Okay.
I'm a Rosemary fan.
I just made this comment online. It's like, I actually like this better. And a bunch of people are like, what are you talking about?
Really? That's because you're a Rebel fan.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I guess I just thought this was like, I mean, it was a shorter match, but I just felt like it was better laid out. So I have to ask you this because I can only make an assumption, but at Slammiversary, when Sienna won, did the crowd understand what happened? Because I was saying when she choked on the mist and all that, like, I don't think that came across to the live audience what happened. And then it burned her eyes.
We actually saw it. Most of us, some people didn't, but a lot of us actually saw what happened and how she played it off. It was in her eyes, right? Got in her eyes.
Yeah, at first she like choked on it because Sienna put her hand over her mouth and it was like oozing up between her fingers. And then once she tried to lift her up for the red wedding, she put it in her eyes.
Yeah, I got it. It was a good finish. We were kind of hoping Rosemary won, but Sienna's pretty good, so I didn't mind the outcome.
Okay, I like the outcome personally. And, you know, Sienna used the same finish in this match with Rebel with the tap out. I just didn't like that Rebel was trying to fix her hair while she was in the move before she tapped out. I thought that kind of made it look like the move wasn't locked on very well. But
she was trying to fix her hair?
Yeah, she was like, she was in the choke and then she was like brushing the hair out of her eyes. She probably did it two or three times and then she tapped out.
Oh my god.
So maybe it just looks weird to me, but I thought it kind of stood out. It was kind of awkward. And then the main event was your guy, Alberto El Patron, versus Lashley. And this was probably a better match than the Slammiversary one. I'm actually surprised that you had said a lot of people don't like him in the Impact Zone, because, you know, the one time I was there, everyone seemed to like him a lot, and on TV it seems like he gets a lot of C chants, so.
That's because they show the crowd that likes him. They don't show my group. They don't. Like, I have, like, the first row, part of the first row section. We don't like him. We have a bunch of Not My Champ signs. Alberto, he knows I don't like him. He walks past me and be like, I am your champ. I'm like, nah, I'm sorry. Mm-mm, no. And then after the matches, he always has a little speech he gives.
Oh, okay. And,
yeah, he calls me out. I think he calls me like a hater or something. Yeah, I mean, I'm just not a fan of him. I'm sorry. He's overhyped. I don't like it.
So it's kind of like after Slammiversary when he did that speech. You said he does that. He's done it other times.
Yes, too much. But apparently the crowd loves it.
In your opinion, was that Paige? Because there's been reports that wasn't Paige at the ringside with the mask on. There was reports that it was his sister. But do you know anything further on that, if it was her or not?
We really believe it was her because we see her at the tapings all the time. But she's, like, always hiding because, you know, she can't be seen.
Right.
Yeah, so I believe it was her. Just from the skin complexion, she was a little pale like Paige. She looked just like her.
Yeah, Mexican.
Same color hair. Yeah, Mexican wouldn't be like that light. So I honestly believe it was Paige.
I was reading this article today. There was this team in the WWF a long time ago. I guess they were WWE at the time. They're called, I think, the Highlanders. They were like some Scottish guys. And I never knew this until I was reading the story today, but one of them had bought a ticket to Impact Wrestling, one of the shows, and he went as a fan to go watch it, and they caught him on TV. And they fired him after that, a few months after that. And the rumor was that he went there on purpose to get seen so he could get fired.
She hides, so I don't think she's trying to get fired. But she was at the meet and greet. I know you've probably seen the pictures from there. She was not hiding then.
Did she take pictures with anyone?
No, she wouldn't take pictures with anyone.
Yeah, I think someone had told me that they asked her, and she said she wasn't allowed to.
What, take pictures?
Yeah, she wasn't allowed to take pictures or sign autographs.
Well, I heard she took a couple pictures at the Yale House.
Yeah, I can imagine that much.
Yeah, she takes a couple pictures, autographs, because I had a friend ask her, and she told her she can do it after she got done with her little meeting.
That's interesting. I saw one picture of her online where she was hiding in the back. And she was, like, reaching around with her phone, taping the match.
Yeah, she always does that.
That's too funny.
Yeah, they was like, is she going to fall? She better back up a little bit, or she's going to fall. And she, like, reaches her arm back there just so she can record him.
Yeah, that's too funny.
And I don't know if it was really Paige who was sitting ringside, but she actually did flick off me and my friends. my friends, actually, because I wasn't looking. I was like, I'm not going to look over there because I know that's Alberto's team right there, whoever they were. And so my friends actually caught her, and she flicked them off. I'm like, I ain't get flicked off.
Where have the twins been at the tapings that you always hang out with, that do the signs and everything? I haven't seen them on TV in a long time.
They've actually been at work. Oh, I will let them know you asked about them, but they've been working a lot. They were supposed to come, but work changes and all that, so she couldn't come. They couldn't come.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, I was curious. I hadn't seen them there in quite some time, so.
Yeah, because, you know, they're always next to me.
Yeah, exactly. I know everyone kind of has their, like, little areas that they like to be in.
I have my little same spot.
I've only stood up once, and that was at Slammiversary last year, and my feet were killing me. I was like, I can't do this again. I was dying.
It's not that bad. I mean, but I've been doing it for almost, 2 years now?
Right. And I had my son with me, and he's 7, so I kept putting him on my shoulders and stuff. So, I mean, I'm sure that was part of it, but I can't stand that long. That's why I give props to that one old lady with the magnet shirt.
Oh, yeah, she's there all the time. I love her.
Is she there with anybody, or she just walk up in there by herself?
No, she actually shows up with some people.
Okay.
People in the front row. Like, pretty much that whole front row is a part of a group that I'm in.
Okay.
We're all VIPs, pretty right. much.
So you're like me. I always make sure I pay for VIP tickets because that's a way to watch it to me. I mean, like.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanna talk and complain about the product, put some money into it, then you can talk.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why when people were talking about me and saying stuff, I'm looking like, give me my money, and then we could talk.
Yeah.
I mean, I've paid over $1,000 into this promotion, so if you want me to do something while on TV, give me some money. If not, go somewhere.
Yeah, I hear you. I've paid for tickets even when I drive up there for one day. I'll still pay for the VIP because I really enjoy meeting the wrestlers. That's a big deal to me. And, you know, I just want to get a decent seat. So, you know.
That's a really big deal, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a big deal for my family to be able to sit. So that's, you know, we have a running agreement with some of the backstage people about about the non-camera side, some of the seating there. They know, like, if I buy a ticket to reserve me seats there. So I always appreciate them quite a bit for that. But as far as this match, it was a good match, probably better than their other one. And, of course, at the very end, I kind of fell asleep at the very end of this, too. It's just because I was just...
Oh, Lashley?
It wasn't because I was bored. It was just I work a very weird work schedule. And I work nights, but then I also don't sleep a whole lot because I have to get up with my kids and stuff. So, you know, like today I slept 3 hours and got up into the podcast. So sometimes when I'm sitting there watching, I'll have times where I just nod off because I'm just not rested or whatever. But I just missed the end of this as far as how El Patron was, like, knocked out cold.
Oh, yeah, Bobby got me good.
Okay.
I love that match until the ending.
Was Bobby going to win the match type of thing and then LAX came down? Because I just came down and, I mean, I kind of came to and they were already holding him up.
Yes, Bobby was going to win the match. And then LAX came out and announced Alberto as the new member.
All right, this should be interesting to see how this plays out. And I know you already know, but I'm curious.
Yeah,
I'm curious to see it.
And be on the lookout for certain signs that I had created in some of my group. They're going to be holding it. Hopefully it doesn't get cut off.
Okay, for this feud?
For this whole Alberto joining LAX.
Okay, cool. We'll keep an eye out for him then. All right, so that's going to do it for the King of the Mount podcast this week. Pretty good episode. Had the highest viewership of 2017, and I think it beat anything from last year that was Hardy related except Final Deletion, so it's always good. And we will talk to you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. All right.